Hi, this is Jane on Friday, July 10th, reading the Chelsea Record, July 8th edition. Tom Ambrosino will retire as administrator of state courts. Tom Ambrosino, one of the most influential municipal leaders in the history of two communities, Revere and Chelsea, has announced that he will be retiring as the court administrator of the Massachusetts Trial Court. Ambrosino said he notified court personnel that he will be retiring in the fall. I haven't yet submitted my paperwork to the state, but it's sitting on my desk, ready to be hand-delivered. I'll probably retire sometime in September. From his office at the John Adams Courthouse in Boston, Ambrosino had a major responsibility in the Massachusetts judicial system. He oversaw 94 courts and 6,500 court employees. It definitely was an interesting job, but it's time to go, said Ambrosino. I've been here 3.5 years. Prior to his job in the courts, Ambrosino served as city manager of Chelsea for 7.5 years. He was previously the mayor of Revere for 12 years, following 4 years as a councilor at large and 6 years as a school committee member. I have great memories of my years in Revere and Chelsea, said Ambrosino. We accomplished a lot of good things. Ambrosino, who will turn 65 years old in November, still holds a special connection to Revere. His daughter, Alexandra Ambrosino Nader, is a teacher at the Hill Elementary School. Ambrosino is a 1979 graduate of Revere High School, where he was an outstanding student and a member of the National Honor Society. One of his favorite educators was Carol Tye, who has often praised Ambrosino for his academic excellence and studiousness. She was my 10th grade English teacher, Ambrosino noted of Tye, who would later become the superintendent of schools and serve on the school committee. Ambrosino went on to attend Boston University, graduating in 1983. He continued his education at Harvard Law School, earning his J.D. degree in 1986. Ambrosino said of his distinguished career, I will miss public service, but it's been 37 years. It's been a long time. I feel proud of my career. I did my best, that's for sure. Ambrosino said he and his longtime partner, Laurie Giardella, intend to do a lot of traveling in his retirement years. But Ambrosino added that he hopes to eventually work in another field. I hope it's not the end, said Ambrosino. I really would like to do something else, but I'm not sure what. I don't want to really stop working. It's time to retire from state government. City manager Fidel Maltese and former city manager Jay Ash led a tremendous tribute from the city and state dignitaries to Ambrosino's career. Recupero proposes property tax break for seniors. District 6 City Councilor Giovanni Recupero has never been shy about trying to help out Chelsea's senior taxpayers. Recupero's latest order, seeking a home rule petition before the state legislature to halt property tax increases for senior citizens over the age of 65, is heading to further debate before the council's subcommittee on conference and a possible public hearing. The order was moved to the conference committee at last week's regular council meeting. Recupero had previously discussed the order at a subcommittee on aging and independence. At that subcommittee meeting, Councilor-at-Large Leo Robinson raised concerns cited by the city solicitor if a councilor over the age of 65, such as Recupero or Robinson, voted to send the home rule petition to the legislator. At last week's full council meeting, Robinson recused himself from a possible vote on the order, but Recupero said he wanted to vote to move the home rule petition to the legislature. Recupero's order would halt property tax increases for senior citizens who occupy their own homes and would be subject to income limits for single people and married couples. The seniors would also have to have lived in their home for at least 5 years for the property tax exemption to apply. When we went to committee, there really wasn't too much objection to what it was, said Recupero. But if we have a letter that says, I'm too old, I can't vote on it because it becomes a conflict of interest, but I really don't care if it's a conflict of interest or not. I want to help the old people. I want older generations to be able to stay in their homes. The whole thing of this, the purpose, was to help them. Recupero said the council should move the home rule petition forward and then have the state legislature decide if it should be passed and moved on for the governor's signature. I agree with the sentiments that Councilor Recupero was putting on the table, said District 2 Councilor Darren Hines. I think, God willing, I would live to retirement age and be someone who owns a home, and with market conditions shifting and making it harder for people to stay in their homes, even now, who are actively working, I hear the sentiments that are being put on the table. However, Hines noted that there were some concerns about the order that were raised by the city's law department. We should send something that has a shot and actually has the impact that we are looking to get out of this thing versus sending something and hope they figure it out, said Hines. USS Constitution to get underway for sail Boston. USS Constitution is scheduled to get underway from the Charlestown Navy Yard on July 11th at 8 a.m. This underway commemorates America's 250th birthday. The ship will lead the Boston Grand Parade of Sail through Boston Harbor as part of Sail 250. During the underway, USS Constitution will render ceremonial gun salutes throughout the transit. As the world's oldest commissioned warship afloat and America's ship of state, USS Constitution played a crucial role in the Barbary Wars and the War of 1812, defending American sea lanes from 1798 to 1855. USS Constitution's defeat of HMS Guerrero marked the first frigate-to-frigate victory by the U.S. Navy over the Royal Navy during the War of 1812. During the battle, Constitution earned the nickname Old Ironsides when British cannonballs were seen bouncing off her thick oak hull. The underway will be visible from the Boston Harbor Walk, Castle Island, and Charlestown Navy Yard. USS Constitution will open for public tours following the parade of sail and will remain open Sunday, July 12th through Sunday, July 19th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Beginning Monday, July 20th, USS Constitution will return to its normal summer visitation schedule and will be open Tuesday through Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Boarding and visiting the ship are free. All guests 18 years of age and older must present a valid state or federally issued photo identification card or passport to board the ship. International Sand Sculpting Festival returns for 22nd year with Boston Welcomes the World theme. The Revere Beach International Sand Sculpting Festival is back. Now entering its 22nd year, the highly anticipated summer event will take over the shores of America's first public beach from July 17th to July 19th. This year's festival theme is Boston Welcomes the World, bringing together artistry, culture, and community for a weekend filled with art from master sand sculptors and family fun. The main attraction will feature an extraordinary display of skill as 10 master sand sculptors from across the world compete for prize money. These exceptionally talented artists will transform the sand into awe-inspiring creations, drawing hundreds of thousands to Revere Beach over the three-day course. Historically, drawing crowds that can exceed 500,000 people, the festival offers much more than just world-class art. Beyond the sand sculptures, the event features over 50 food vendors, food trucks and exhibitors, interactive activities, amusement rides, fireworks, and a vibrant atmosphere. The spectacular fireworks display is scheduled to light up the sky over the water on Saturday night at 9 p.m. The event is organized by the Revere Beach Partnership, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that was established in 2001, made up of a volunteer board that shares a love for Revere and Revere Beach. The partnership's mission is to preserve and enhance America's first public beach for the enjoyment of all. We can't wait to see everyone at the beach this summer for the 22nd year of the International Sand Sculpting Festival, organizers shared in a statement. We invite you to join us July 17th to the 19th on Revere Beach for an experience you'll never forget. Because of the massive crowds expected, automobile traffic in the surrounding area will be heavily congested and parking will be extremely limited. Attendees are highly encouraged to use public transportation. The MBTA's Blue Line offers two convenient stops, Wonderland and Revere Beach stations, making it by far the best choice for festival goers traveling to the beach. The dates of the festival are Friday, July 17th through Sunday, July 19th. The hours are Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. For more information or to donate, please visit www.reverebeachpartnership.com or visit www.rbissf.com. Neighbor Health convenes statewide leaders to advance maternal health equity. Neighbor Health brought together elected officials, clinicians, maternal health advocates, and community leaders at the Massachusetts State House on Wednesday, June 24, 2026, for Community Maternal Health, Strengthening the Delivery of Care, a forum focused on identifying community-driven solutions to improve maternal health care outcomes for families and reduce inequities across Massachusetts. Led by Mimi Gardner, MPH, LICSW, Vice President and Chief of Community Partnerships and Health Impact at Neighbor Health, and sponsored by Massachusetts Senator Liz Miranda, the event addressed persistent challenges in maternal and perinatal health, including rising rates of severe maternal morbidity, which is SMM, and inequities across race, geography, and socioeconomic status. Throughout the morning, speakers highlighted actionable strategies to strengthen care delivery, expand access, and ensure more equitable outcomes across the Commonwealth. This important conversation honors the voices of birthing people across Massachusetts whose experiences continue to guide this work, said Gardner. Together, doulas, midwives, public health leaders, and policymakers are advancing solutions to ensure every family is heard, valued, and supported with the care they deserve. Participants also reviewed community-informed recommendations aligned with ongoing legislative priorities, including strengthening the maternal health workforce and advancing reimbursement pathways for doulas and midwives to support safe, respectful, and equitable care. The convening featured remarks and participation from local and statewide leaders, including Senator Liz Miranda, 2nd Suffolk District, Massachusetts, State Representative Marjorie Decker, Dr. Kiami Mahaina, Massachusetts Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Basola Ojikudu, Commissioner of Public Health and Executive Director of the Boston Public Health Commission, Michael Curry, President and CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers, and Dr. Amuda Onagaga, Center for Maternal Health Advancement, Tufts University. We know the disparities. We know the data. We know the solutions. The question is, what will it take to fully commit to maternal health equity, said Senator Miranda. Black and brown women continue to face unacceptable barriers to safe and respectful care. If we are serious about changing outcomes, we must invest in community-led solutions, listen to those most impacted, and ensure that equity is at the center of every policy decision we make. Every mother deserves dignity, and together we can build a system that truly listens and cares, said Dr. Amuda Onugaga. By leading the equity and compassion, we can create a future where every family thrives, rooted in justice and joy. The event underscored the importance of community-led solutions in shaping policy, fostering alignment between community priorities and state-level efforts to advance maternal health equity for families across Massachusetts. NeighborHealth continues to lead this work through innovative, community-centered models of care and partnerships that expand access and strengthen maternal health services across the Commonwealth. Enjoy the tall ships. The return of the tall ships to Boston Harbor this coming weekend will place a spectacular exclamation point to the celebration of America's 250th anniversary. The international fleet of vessels will arrive in Boston Outer Harbor beginning Thursday and into Friday, where they will anchor in Broad Sound ahead of the parade of sail on Saturday. The ships at anchor will be plainly visible from the shores of Lynn, Revere, and Winthrop, transforming the outer harbor into a seascape of masts that will evoke the 18th century. Then on Saturday morning, starting at 9 o'clock, the ships will unfurl their sails and proceed into the inner harbor past Deer Island and Castle Island. Led by Old Ironsides, or the USS Constitution, the parade will sail past the entire Boston waterfront, including East Boston, the North End, and Charlestown, with Admiral's Hill and Chelsea offering longer distance views as the ships turn around before heading to their berths. The ships will be open to the public for boarding throughout the week, providing a unique opportunity to experience the inner workings of these majestic vessels. Fireworks displays on the evenings of Saturday, July 11th, and Wednesday, July 15th, will light up the harbor beginning at 9:15. We vividly recall the first visit of the tall ships in 1976 for America's 200th anniversary. We have no doubt that for young and old alike, the visit of the tall ships this week will create memories that will last a lifetime. This award is for La Cola Borativa. Gladys Vega receives National Leadership Award. 2,000 miles from Chelsea, in a packed ballroom at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in Denver, Gladys Vega received the most illustrious award at the nation's most prestigious civic competition. Vega, the executive director of La Cola Borativa, was the recipient of the National Civic League's Leader Award at the All-America City Awards program. Vega was honored for her exceptional leadership of La Cola Borativa, the Chelsea-based organization that she has built into a national model, empowering immigrants in the city while leading a distribution of millions of pounds of food, an incredible effort that Vega stepped up during the COVID-19 pandemic. But Gladys Vega humbly spoke of her staff's contribution to La Cola Borativa's vital place in the community during an interviewing following her inspiring acceptance speech. Vega joined La Cola Borativa in a non-administrative position 36 years ago when it was known as the Chelsea Collaborative. She has won numerous awards and has been named Bostonian of the Year by the Boston Globe. I was sitting by myself thinking about how far we have come for a city that for so many years was ignored, said Vega. In the late 1980s, people lost hope in our city, but we continue to get involved and get organized. When we win this award, it's not about the award. It's about each individual life that we have worked hard to affect in a positive way. We're winning now, not because the table was made years ago. We're winning now because we went through a lot of struggles to have the table set for generations to come, said Vega. In a selfless display of the collaboration that symbolizes La Collaborativa, Vega said the award is to be shared by everyone in her organization. People always say Gladys Vega and the award, but it should say La Collaborativa, because Gladys Vega doesn't win awards without my staff and the community we serve, said Vega. People like Dini, Noralise, Carlos, Herman, my other Carlos, we have a team, and all of our staff are community members, too, and they truly care about our community, and they do amazing work. Vega said that city manager Fidel Maltese has done an exceptional job in the top leadership position in Chelsea. Fidel has been an incredible gift of joy in our city, said Vega. He has taken a city that was struck hard by the pandemic and now has financial challenges because a lot of federal funding aid is gone for the people we serve. So Fidel and all of us together have to continue to join forces. Gladys Vega's niece, City Councilor Tanari Garcia, wasn't about to let her aunt deflect all of the excellence for which she was honored. She's just a powerhouse, lauded Garcia, whose sister Kelly also serves on the council. She is the reason we have run for election. She has paved the way for many, many Latinos in our community. It's an honor to be present in Denver and see her win this important award. And the cherry on top was to win the All-America Award for our city, a city we've all worked to collectively put on the map. State delegation honors Matt Frank with inaugural Commonwealth Pride Award. State Representative Judith Garcia and State Senator Sal DiDomenico honored Chelsea community leader and former Chelsea City Councilor Matt Frank with the inaugural Commonwealth Pride Award, a new annual recognition celebrating the outstanding contributions and achievements of LGBTQ plus leaders across Massachusetts. When I think about courage in public service, I think about Matt Frank. I remember serving with him on the Chelsea City Council and watching him step forward to organize our city's first pride flag raising. He didn't wait for someone else to lead, he led. From preserving Chelsea's history to advancing economic development and expanding LGBTQ plus visibility, Matt has left a lasting mark on our community. He has helped ensure that young people growing up in Chelsea can see themselves reflected in the city they call home. It is my honor to recognize Matt as the inaugural recipient of the Commonwealth Pride Award, said Representative Judith Garcia. It was a privilege to honor my friend and Chelsea native Matt Frank at the first annual Commonwealth Pride Awards, said Senator Sal N. DiDomenico. Matt has been a leader in our community, starting the first Pride flag-raising ceremony in Chelsea and working tirelessly in his day job to improve and create housing for residents across the city. This is a well-deserved recognition for Matt's many contributions to the LGBTQ plus community and the city of Chelsea. A lifelong, multi-generational resident of Chelsea, Matt Frank has dedicated his life to public service and community advocacy. As a young person, he earned the rank of Eagle Scout and continued that commitment of service throughout his adult life. He has served on numerous local boards and commissions, including the Chelsea Planning Board, Chelsea Economic Development Board, and Chelsea Historical Commission. He has also been a trustee of the historic Governor Bellingham Carey House Museum, most recently serving as its president. A former president of the Chelsea City Council and currently the Director of Development at the Chelsea Housing Authority, Frank has worked closely with residents, businesses, and community organizations to strengthen Chelsea and expand opportunities for its people. For the past 11 years since its founding, Frank has served as the lead organizer of the Chelsea LGBTQ Coalition and has helped organize Chelsea's annual Pride flag raising since its inception. His leadership helped establish one of the region's most visible celebrations of LGBTQ plus pride and inclusion at a time when such recognition was still uncommon in many working-class communities surrounding Boston. During his tenure on the City Council, Frank introduced Chelsea's first resolutions recognizing National Coming Out Day, Transgender Day of Remembrance, and Pride Month, helping to institutionalize the city's commitment to LGBTQ plus visibility and equality. Frank's advocacy was inspired in part by an internship with former state senator Jarrett Barrios at the Massachusetts State House in 2006. Since then, he has worked tirelessly to ensure that future generations of LGBTQ plus young people can see the pride flag flying in Chelsea and know they are not alone in their journey. I was extremely honored and humbled to be part of the inaugural group of honorees for this award. I sat at the ceremony thinking of the 30-plus speakers at our flag raisings over the years, the other members of the Chelsea LGBTQ Coalition, the supporters and allies that have helped over the years, and the other communities that looked to Chelsea for inspiration after our first flag raising, said Frank. Representation and visibility matter, and I am proud to be highlighted this time. I look forward to seeing this become an annual award and cannot wait to see who receives the award next year. For the first time ever, the Massachusetts LGBTQ plus Legislative Caucus hosted the Commonwealth Pride Awards, celebrating LGBTQ plus excellence on the Hill. Held during Pride Month, the event honored more than 110 community leaders nominated by members of the legislature. Honorees included public servants, advocates, educators, entrepreneurs, artists, healthcare professionals, and community leaders from across the Commonwealth whose work has advanced equality, inclusion, and opportunity.